This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Sorry, before I tell you what Moshe says, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Rashi quotes a very harsh chazal in Sanhedrin, where he says, Ashmoseihen shel Yisroel, the faults of Bnei Yisroel, tilluyos beroshe dayanehen, are dependent on the heads of their dayonim, of their judges. In other words, the rabbinical leadership of a generation is responsible for the mistakes of the generation. Why? Shehoyo lohem limchos or the chavenoson l'derech hayeshara. Because if anything was going wrong, they should have noted that something was going wrong, and they should have put it straight. And that's one of the reasons that I am, and certainly anybody should be, particular about people coming in and out of shiurim. Because if a guy comes into a shiur and he drops in and he drops out, and sometimes he's here and sometimes he's not, and that's all I see of him. On the one hand, a rov by teaching is taking on a responsibility. That means that anything that person does which is not straight and right, I'm to blame, because I should have put it right. On the other hand, if I don't see him from time to time and he only hears half of what I say, and most of what he hears is out of context, then what can I do? So it's better, I would rather have one Talmud that I sit and learn with, and I see him regularly, and I can put him straight when he seems to be going wrong, and I have the kind of relationship with him whereby that can be done, and there I can take responsibility for him. I don't mind, that's fantastic. But to have rather that than to have a sort of airy-fairy relationship with a lot of people, where there's no way that I can take the responsibility for where they're holding, and if I can't take the responsibility for where they're holding, then we're messing around all the time. Then it's entertainment, and it's not growth in Torah. And it's this concept that I want to study and understand a little bit more clearly. Where does the responsibility come from? Or let's put it differently. In order to give a person responsibility, you have to give him commensurate authority. If my boss doesn't have the authority to fire me, there's no way he can be held responsible for what I do. Because why should I listen to him? What authority has he got over me? So it's essential. If my boss is going to be held responsible for what I do, it's essential that he's given the authority to fire me if necessary. What authority does a rov have? What, can you fire a person? Okay, so you kick him out of your base of medrash. You're still responsible for him. It doesn't help. What authority does a rov have to make it fair that he is given this responsibility, that the ashmas ha'amet, the fault of the whole nation, lies at the feet of the Gedolim and the Chachomim of that generation? Doesn't relieve us from responsibility, but it adds responsibility to their shoulders. Where does this responsibility come from, and what is the authority that justifies such a responsibility? Now we'll see where Rashi learns this out from. Moshe says, Eicho esol levadi tochachem umasachem v'rivchem. How can I manage on my own to cope with your troubles and your burden and your arguments? Havu lachem anoshim chachomim unavoinim v'yuduim l'shivtechem. Bring forward from your midst anoshim, men, who are chachomim, wise, nevoinim, another type of wise which we'll describe further on, v'yuduim l'shivteichem, and prominent people in your tribes. Va'asi mem b'roshechem, and allow me to place them at your heads. Va'tanu oisi, and you answered me, va'tzoibrin, you said, tov ha'dovar ashe dibat alaisos. Dvorim is pathetic. You can cry when you read Dvorim. Every posuk of Dvorim. If you don't cry, you haven't understood it. Because Moshe is giving the Musar in every word he says. And but one has to be a bit of a Talmid Chochem to understand the Musar. But when you understand it, Moshe says, Vatanu Oisi, and you answered that Tomeru, and you said, Tov ha'dovar asher dibarta la'asos. It's a good idea what you've said, to appoint helpers for yourself, to appoint assistants. And you'll remember in Yisroel how overburdened and overworked Moshe was at the point where he agreed to appoint assistants and dayonim. That Yisroel had to force him to do it. He was reluctant to do it, but he did it at a point where he just couldn't carry on anymore. Says Rashi, what does that mean? What is Moshe saying? Ya lochem lahashiv, you should have answered, says Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, mimi noa lilmoed, mimcho lo mitalmidecho. Who is it better to learn from yourself or your talmidim? Lo mimcho shenitzta'ato aleo. Isn't it better to learn from you who put so much pain and trouble into Torah? It's true that you find it difficult to bear us and to lead us, but that's all the more reason we want to learn from you and from no one else. Elo yodati machshavoteichem. But I know what you thought. Hayisim oimrim achshav yismanu aleinu dayonim harbe imein makireinu anu mivim lo doiron v'hu noise lanu fanim. Says the people thought to themselves, now there'll be many dayonim appointed. They'll be of a lower stature. And if they don't know us, if they don't understand what we mean when we're winking at them, when we're standing before them, we'll bribe them, we'll bring them gifts. It'll be much easier to control them than to control Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Moshe, although I was overworked, it's my business that I'm overworked. It's for me to decide that I'm going to appoint assistants. It's for you to battle against that decision. It's for you to reject that decision and to demand that you continue learning from me. That's the continuous battle between Rebbe and Talmud. The Talmud demands as much as he can, and the Rebbe's problem is to look after himself. But you didn't. I said, I want to appoint an assistant. You said, wonderful idea. Says Moshe, I know what you wanted. I know what you thought. It's tragic. So I took the heads of your tribes, Anoshim Chachomim V'Yiduim, men, Chachomim, wise, V'Yiduim, prominent, and I appointed them heads over you. Sore alofim, besore meos, besore chamishim, besore asoros. Heads of thousands, heads of hundreds, heads of fifties, heads of tens. Every 10 people had a rebbe. Veshotrim, veshivteichem, and policemen according to your tribes. The shotrim were there to execute the decisions of the rebbe. The rebbe didn't have to waste time seeing that something was carried out. Once the rebbe said, this is what it is, and he got hold of the shotrim. He got told that a policeman isn't the right word, it's an executor, somebody who makes sure that the decisions are carried out, etc. And so Moshe goes on. Two comments over here. The first one, there's a bit of repetition and we've got to compare it. Moshe starts off telling them what he decided to do, and then he describes the putting it into practice. When he talks about describing what he decided to do, he says the following: Havu lachem, bring from yourselves anoshim, men, chachomim, who are wise, unavoinim, whatever nevoinim means, v'yuduim l'shifteichem, and prominent. When he says that he actually did it, he says, v'ekach es roshei shifteichem, I took the heads of your tribes, anoshim, chachomim, v'yuduim, men, wise, and prominent. He leaves out nevoinim. That seems right to leave out nevoinim. What more do you need? Anoshim, which Rashi tells us is tzaddikim, righteous people. Chachomim, wise people, and Yiduim, prominent people. What can there be more than that? But in the beginning he talks about Nevoinim, and we have to understand it. The second question, he says, V'asimeim b'rosheichem, and I will put them at your heads. And at the when he talks about having actually done it, he says, V'etein oson roshim aleichem, a different wording here, and I shall put them at your heads. And Unkelus translated exactly the same way. The pshat is exactly the same, but he uses a different word. At the beginning he uses va'asimem, I shall place you, and here he says va'etein oisom, I shall place you. It's the same in translation, it's the same, but it's a different word, and we have to understand why a different word is used. So those are two questions on the psukim themselves. Firstly, why is nevoinim left out when Moshe actually finds the people? When he looked for people, he looked for somebody who was a nevoin as well. When he found them, the word nevoin is left out. We have to understand what nevoin means. And secondly, va'asimem b'roshechem is changed to va'etei noisom roshim aleichem. Now on this question of nevoinim, in case we think that the fact that nevoinim have been left out is not terribly serious, says Rashi, aval nevoinim lo matzasi, I couldn't find anybody who was a nevoin as well. Anoshim tzadikim I found, chachomim I found, yiduim prominent ones I found, but nevoinim I couldn't find. That's another accusation against Am Yisrael. We don't know yet what nevoinim means, but we're going to have to find out. But he's criticizing them. The fact that I set out to find a couple of requirements and a dayan. What do I need? I need a dayan who's an ish, who's a tzaddik, whose actions are good, a chacham, a nevoin, which we'll define, and yiduim, and prominent. And I couldn't find a nevoin. I couldn't find somebody who was a nevoin. We'll have to understand why. What is a nevoin? Says Rashi. Chachomim, what is a chacham? Kesufim. And this is the Rashi that he takes it from the Yalkut Shimon. Chachomim, it's really from a Sifri originally. Chachomim, kesufim. Kesufim comes from the word kesif, which means money. So chachomim, says Rashi, are the moneyed ones. Doesn't make much sense. Nevoinim, what are the nevoinim? Mevinim dava mitoich dava. Nevoinim are people who can understand one thing from another thing. That is, they can deduce. They don't have to be told everything. Things that have a yesod, they can have a principle, and they can deduce from the principle onwards. That's a novel. And Rashi brings an example. This is what Arius asked Rabbi Yosef. What is the difference between a chochem, a wise person, and a novin, also a wise person? So Rabbi Yosef answers him, chochem doyme l'shulchoni ashir. A chochem is like a wealthy businessman. K'shemevi'in lo'y dinorin liros, roye. When you propose a business deal to him, he examines it. U'chashein mevi'in lo'y, yoshev v'toye. And when you don't propose a business deal to him, he listens to Beethoven, and he plays his music, and he reads Shakespeare. Novin, what is a novin? Doyme l'shulchoni tagar. He is like an entrepreneur. K'shemevi'in lo'y mo'os liros, roye. When you bring him a business deal, he examines it. And when you don't bring him a business deal, he runs around and he finds a business deal if you don't bring him one. That's a novel, an entrepreneur. So a chacham is a man who is rich in Torah, and a novel is a man who is an entrepreneur in Torah. And they're two different midas, they're two different qualities of people, and we'll understand them more clearly. But again, why does Rashi then say chachamim are kusufi? They manage people, whatever that kusufi means. He goes on to explain that the difference between Novoin and Chacham in the very next Rashi. Furthermore, in the source where Rashi takes this from, that's the Yalkut and the Sifri, this word Kesufi, Manit, goes on Anoshim, where it talks about men, says, ask the Sifri, surely, obviously it's men, you don't think he's going to put women on the Beis Din? Answers the Sifri, men mean Tzadikim u'Kesufi. That's what it means. Tzadikim, who are wealthy. That we know, that one of the qualities of a Dayan should be wealth, that he's financially independent. So that makes sense. Anoshim means men who have stature in tzidkus, and they should be wealthy, kesufim. And chachomim are chachomim, that's like the rich businessman. And nevoinim are like the entrepreneurs. Okay, but here Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says anoshim is tzadikim, and chachomim is kesufim. Where does Rashi twist that around from? Where does Rashi get that from? And what does it mean? One further question in Rashi, and then we're going to analyze it a bit. No. What do we do with them? V'asimem says Moshe, V'asimem v'roshechem, and I shall put them at your heads. Now, on the V'asimem, Rashi points out that it's printed in the Torah, it's written in the Torah without a yud. By the way, in our Torah, it's not written without a yud. There are differences in different Sifrei Torah. Rashi, in a couple of places in Torah, has very minor differences of spelling to what we have in our Sifrei Torah. Now, many Rishonim, even before Rashi, had our spelling, but there seems to have been two Sifrei Torah. Rashi was an Ashkenazi, it's not nothing to do with Ashkenazi or Sephardi, but there were here and there slight differences in spelling. Says Rashi, why is it chaser yud? Why is it written without a yud? She ashmotein shel Yisrael teluyos baroshe dayonim sheayolem nimchus olechavinus mederach hayesharat. So Rashi, I just quoted to you, so that you can also read it, va'ashimayim, and I shall hold them responsible. So now, the one question we asked in the Chumash itself becomes more meaningful. We pointed out that in the first case, Moshe says va'asimem baroshechem, which Rashi says means not only that I will place them at your heads, but I will hold them responsible as your heads. And when he actually does it, he says va'eteinosam. It means exactly the same, except for the drush. That means it means I will put them at your heads, but it doesn't mean I'll hold you responsible. So now we have an incredible thing that we've noticed. That Moshe looked for the kind of people that he could not only put at their heads, but also hold them responsible for the wrongs of the Am Yisrael. And he found people that he could put at their heads, but he couldn't hold them responsible for the faults of Am Yisrael. It's an incredible chiddush. What's the difference between the people he was looking for and the people he found? Nevoinim. They lacked tevuna. They lacked bina. We're going to have to understand clearly what that really means.
The last question. Baroshechem, I'll put them at your heads. Roshim umechubodim aleichem, they should be heads and honored by you. Shetihiyu nohagim bohem kovod v'yiro. That means that you should relate to them with honor and yiro. Yiro is that funny word which doesn't have an English equivalent. It's something between fear and respect. But let's say fear, because it's not far off. It's all, I suppose. So what does it mean, I'll put them at your heads? You've got to relate to them with kovod and yiro. With honor and awe. Afterwards, where it says, "Va'etein oisam roshim aleichem,"
it shouldn't be necessary for Rashi to say anything, because he's already defined what it means to be at the head of the people. But Rashi does. He says, "Shitit nahagu bohem kovod," that you should relate to them with honor. So he repeats himself. Why does he repeat himself? Because he leaves out something here. The yiro he doesn't put in. You must relate to them with honor, but he doesn't say with all. Roshim b'mekach, when you're buying something from them, you give them the first option. Roshim b'memkar, if you're selling something, you give them the first option. Roshim b'maso matan, when you're doing business, you try and do business with them. Nichnas mi'beisa l'beisa knesses achron v'yotzei rishon. He comes into shul last and he goes out of shul first. That's kovod. You've got to relate to them with kovod. But yiro doesn't mention in the second case. So let's just summarize what we've got over here. Firstly, we notice that there are various differences between the kind of people Moshe was looking for and the kind of people Moshe found. Number one, tevuna was lacking. He was looking for people with tevuna, and he didn't find people with tevuna. Number two, he was looking for someone that he could put at the head and hold them responsible, and we see that at the end he only found people that he could put at the head, but he could not hold them responsible. Number three, we see from Rashi that he was looking for people who would qualify both for kovod, would demand and require honor from the people, and yiro. And the people he found could demand kovod, but could not demand yiro. And fourthly, we find that Rashi changes the yalkut slightly and uses kesufim, manid, to define chachomim. We don't understand what that means, firstly. And secondly, why does he change it from the way it's printed in the yalkut and the sifri? Now we're going to understand a little bit what tevuno is, and as a result of that, these questions will be answered. We've been talking over the last few weeks in general living, not so much in Torah and in the learning of Torah, of the two different modes of living. The kind of person who gets his fulfillment from life, from doing, from achieving, from being around, from breathing, from seeing, from hearing, from acting. That's what he gets his fulfillment from. And the other kind of person who gets his fulfillment from acquiring, from possessing things. We talked about the acquisitive society, as Eric Fromm calls it, and the society which is a society, or the acquisitive mode of living, and the mode of living which is one of action, one of doing. And I mentioned to you that the same applies in learning and in Torah. There are those people who are involved in acquisitive Torah, and those are the people who are involved in dynamic Torah. I think those are the two most accurate words that define it most accurately. You can be involved in life in an acquisitive sense, that means you're running around trying to get as much as you can, or you're involved in a dynamic sense, you're part of the flow of life and of the action of life. Those are the two things we've been discussing over the last several weeks. And now we're going to look at these two qualities as much as they affect Talmidei Chachamim. There are two kinds of Chachamim. And in fact, there are two mitzvahs in the learning of Torah, which we've often discussed. The one mitzvah is to know the Torah. There's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah. That is, everybody is expected to know the whole Torah. It's a mitzvah that applies to everybody. And there's another mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Even after you know the Torah, there's a mitzvah to learn the Torah. Now, these two mitzvahs, again, is the acquisitive side of learning and the dynamic side of learning. One has to gather information, because that's your raw material for learning. If you don't have Yediyas, if you don't know, you can't do anything, you can't act and you can't learn. So you need to gather yediyas. But gathering yediyas is the acquisitive side of learning. The dynamic side of learning is lilmud, is the actual using those yediyas, using that knowledge, using those concepts that you've acquired, actually using them in one's learning. Now what we're going to analyze this evening is the difference between these two modes of learning. What difference they require in a person, and what difference they affect in a person. And it's not terribly complicated, fortunately. Rashi says that a novin is a person who is mevin dova mitoch dova. That means it's a person who's able to create concepts in Torah. A chacham is a person who knows, who has yediyas, who has a lot of knowledge. That's a chacham. But a novin is a person who is loymed dova mitoch dova. That means a person who is able to create in Torah, to come up with new concepts that aren't stated, but he's learnt it out from principles that are stated. That's what a novin is. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, V'chayev l'shalesh es zman l'midoso. A person must divide his learning into three. Shalish b'Torah shebichtav. One third he should learn the written law, that's Tanakh. Ushlish b'Torah sheba'al peh, one third he should learn Torah sheba'al peh,
oral law. We'll define what that means. Ushlish yovin ve'yaskil achris dover mireishise. And one third he should apply bino yovin. Right, we see already the use of bino, the quality that Moshe Rabbeinu is looking for in his dayonim, to intellectualize, to understand clearly the consequence of a thing from its principle. In other words, to start with a principle and see it develop into its final conclusion. The yotzi dover midover, and to deduce one thing from another. The yidme dover ledover, and to compare one thing to another. The yovin b'midah she'atorah nidreshes b'him, and he should know the principles by which the Torah is learned. At sheyeda hechu ikar hamidus, until he knows exactly how to utilize these midas. Vehech yotzi ha'osu v'hamutur, and how to apply that which is osur and that which is mutur. In other words, how to paskin a shaila. Uchayotze bohem, and similar things, midvarim shelomad mipi hashmua, to paskin a shaila from things he's heard from others. In other words, you've heard a principle, and you can take that principle, although it doesn't apply to your shaila in front of you, but you can deduce from that principle. You can be creative in your learning and adapt that principle to the shaila in front of you. That's the other third of your day. A third is Tanakh, a third is Torah Shebaal Peh, and a third is this business, the inyan zehu nikra gemora. And this is what we call gemora, this last third. So Rambam is saying that one should learn basically a third of the day Tanakh, a third of the day Mishnah, and a third of the day Gemara. But in the Rambam's definition of Gemara, we see a different principle really, and that is that our Gemara is not necessarily Gemara, and our Mishnah is not necessarily Mishnah. We're talking about a quality of learning here. It's a different quality when you're learning Tanakh, and when you're learning Mishnah, and when you're learning what the Rambam calls Gemara. Now the way we sit and learn Gemara, oh, my Rabbi, and try and say that that's what the Rambam means about Meivin Dova, Mitzoch Dova, and to understand the Iker of the Midas of which, with which the Torah is learned, and to be able to paskin the Shaila, there's no comparison. You can't say that our kind of superficial learning is this Gemara. And in fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says in Or Yisrael that included in Mishnah is anything you hear from somebody else, or you learn from somebody else. Gemara and Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and all the Rishonim, the Rashbo and the Ritvo and the Ran, that's all Mishnah. And even the Achronim that you learn, a Rabbi Kiva Eger, a Kasha and a Teretz of a Rabbi Kiva Eger, or you learn a Noida B'Yehuda, or you learn whatever it is. Anything you are hearing, you're receiving from somebody else, that's Begeder Mishnah. That's considered Mishnah. Gemara is your own Chidushim. When you're able to come out with creative learning, to analyze a concept in a new way, to analyze a Rashi in a new way. There can be little chidushim. We're not talking necessarily of big, massive chidushim. Little things. Just to notice something that nobody else has noticed. To see a piece of Gemara in a light that nobody else has seen it. Just to use your own uniqueness a little bit. To use your own personality in learning. You know, people that dress all the same way. I mean, one wonders, where's the personality? Where's the individuality? And one questions it. Is it possible that everybody chooses the same clothing? So either you've got to say that the pressure of society is so great that it's stifled any self-choice, or that they actually don't have a personality. It's one of the two. It's the same in learning. But two people can look at the same chazal and see exactly the same things in it, and can't utilize his own personality to see something new from something he's heard, because of something he's lived through, an experience he's had. Every one of us is totally different from the one we're sitting next to. It's not possible that we can all look at the same chazal and understand it in exactly the same way. When you begin to be able to see different lights, nuances in Chazal, which other people have not seen, that, says Rabbi Yisrael Salant, is the beginning of Gemara. That's when Gemara starts. So now we understand what a Novin is. A Novin is a person who's learning Gemara. A Chacham is a person who knows Mishnah, using Rabbi Yisrael Salant's definition based on the Rambam. It's not just Mishnah and Gemara as separated as they are on the bookshelves, but Mishnah and Gemara as separated as they are in our style of learning. A Chacham is a person who knows the whole of Shas, let's say. All the Gemara with Rishonim, Shas, Shulchan Aruch, the lot, Rambam, everything, he's clear on it. But he's not original in his learning. He's not creative in his learning. A Novin is a person who maybe doesn't know the whole of Shas. Maybe he only knows a little bit. But he's creative. He uses his own personality in his learning. He analyzes things in a unique way. That's a Novin. And what Moshe is looking for is Chachomim and Novinim. Somebody who is both a Chacham, who has a lot of knowledge, and is also a novel. And he didn't find that. He found Chachomim, he found Yiduim, he found Tzadikim, and he found those three qualities in the same person, but not novel. He didn't find people who were also novel in him. Gemara. What does it mean, Gemara? You know, we've talked also quite often about the fact that you can divide, one doesn't like to oversimplify people, but one can actually divide Jewish society into, according to the Rambam, three sections. There's the section of Bul, that's the very bottom, that's a person who's empty, who doesn't have midas, he doesn't have refinement, he doesn't have good personality and character, and he doesn't have learning. And then you've got Am Ha'aretz, and then you've got Talmid Chacham. And one must know where one holds, where one's holding, because one has to, if one's in the Bul or Am Ha'aretz situation, one has to get oneself out of it quickly. And one has to know, if one's a Bul, then one has to move from Bul to Am Ha'aretz, and from Ha'aretz to Talmid Chacham. You can't even jump from Bul to Talmid Chacham. And if one's an Am Ha'aretz, one has to move to Talmid Chacham. One has to know exactly where one's holding, and it's in one of those three categories. There's nothing in between. Bul, Am Ha'aretz, Talmid Chacham. What is an Am Ha'aretz? The Gemara in Brochus defines what an Am Ha'aretz is. Tanu Rabbonin, Ezehu Am Ha'aretz. What is an Am Ha'aretz? The Gemara goes through various suggestions, and at the end, in a way, the Achronim seem to hold is what Acherim Oimrim, others say, Afilu Koro Veshono, even a person who's learned Tanakh and Mishneh, Veloy Shimish Talmidei Chachomim, and he has not served Talmidei Chachomim, Hareze Am Ha'aretz. That is an Am Ha'aretz. Says Rashi, this is a Gemara in Brochus Mem Zayin on the days. Says Rashi, Ezehu Am Ha'aretz Shidibru Chachomim Bechol Mokum. What is the Am Ha'aretz which the Chachomim talk about all over Shas? It's a halachic concept in Am Ha'aretz. Different halachas apply to an Am Ha'aretz than those to apply to a Talmid Chacham. The same as you have slaves, and you have non-Jews, and you have women, and you have Kohanim, and you have Leviim, you have Talmidei Chachomim and Amoratzim. They're two different halachic classifications, so we have to know what is the classification. Answers the Gemara, Shelo Shimesh Talmidei Chachomim, someone who has not served Talmidei Chachomim, says Rashi, Hu HaGemara. What that means is learning Gemara, according to the Rambam's definition and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's definition. Hatzaluya b'svoro, something which depends on one's own logic. Shayu noistin the divrei Mishnah tam. They used to give reasons for the things of the Mishnah. You've heard it said very often, you know, that you mustn't give reasons for halachas in the Torah. Just accept them. Who are we to philosophize? What's the philosophy behind them? I've told you once what the Rambam has to say about such an approach, but here you see it in Rashi. A Talmid Chacham is a person she gives tam the divrei HaMishnah. We never propose to understand fully the reasons of halacha. We never will, because the halacha is given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and no way are our intellects going to understand fully the reasoning for the halachas. But part of Gemara is giving tam, giving taste through meaning and logic and understanding to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just statements of halachic principles. A, B, C, D, that's it. But when it comes to philosophizing and understanding why, in Mishnah you ask the how questions. Mishnah is how to be Jewish. Gemara is why to be Jewish. Vayu mit asfim yachad, and they used to gather together in chaburas, v'oiskim bekach, and they used to deal in this. V'hi dugmas ha-gemora shesidru ha-moiroim. And this gemora which we have are the minutes of such get-togethers where they used to analyze in detail what the Mishnah is all about. That's what our gemora is, but if we now come and treat our gemora like a Mishnah, then we're still only learning Mishnah. We have to go through the same kind of process that they're going through in the gemora that we've got. So now it goes very far. Now we see that when Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for Navonim, he was looking for people who learn in Gemara, that is, people who are involved in the dynamics of Torah. Not just acquiring knowledge in Torah, but involved in the dynamics of Torah. And he didn't find Navonim. That means that what he's left with are people who halachically are begedir ameratzim. Although they have tremendous knowledge, although they are tzaddikim, although they are yiduim, they are righteous, they are knowledgeable, they are prominent, but our pi halacha, according to halachic definition, they don't fit into the category of Talmid Chacham in their generation. In our generation, alavai, we had Amoratzim like that. We would appoint them as our heads of Sanhedrin and our chief rabbis. But we don't have such things even today. But in their generation, well, the demands on that generation were such that those people who were appointed as Dayonim were not, according to the criteria of Moshe's generation, could not be classified as Navonim. That means they could not be classified halachically as Talmidei Chachomim. You know, a Talmid Chacham, what it means to be a Talmid Chacham. You all know the famous Ramban on Kedoshim Tiyu. It was a mitzvah in the Torah, you shall be holy. There's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim what that means. And the Ramban's view is, which is adopted widely, one of the most beautiful Rambans in Torah, is
Ramban says, without that mitzvah, a person could be a noval berishus haTorah. A person with the sanction of the Torah could be a despicable person. Okay, so he'll only eat kosher, but he'll eat like a chazer. So he won't say things which he shouldn't say. He won't take oaths in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He won't talk Lashon Hara because it's Isurim. But he won't talk with refinement. He won't talk with nobility. He'll talk like a prostitute guy, like a fellow from the street. That's how he'll talk. And Bereshus HaTorah comes the mitzvah of Kadoshim to you and tells you that in everything you do and you're allowed to do, there has to be nobility as well. There has to be beauty. There has to be refinement in everything you do. It's not sufficient to say, I don't do this, you know, to go through the lists in the Shulchan Aruch as to what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do and say, I keep them all. There's a qualitative requirement that permeates every mitzvah in the Torah, a requirement of Kadoshim to you. What you're allowed to do, you in addition have to do with Kedusha, with holiness, with refinement and with nobility. If you read through in Hilchos Deos of the Rambam, Perek Hay, I think it is, I'll check out now. Yes. In Perek Hay, the Rambam gives a chapter on how a Talmid Chochum has to behave. And it comes straight from that Rambam. That's it. The whole Perek comes from that Rambam. And he starts, Kashem Shehachochum Nikar Bechochmoso Uve Deyosov, in the same way as a Chochum is Orech Shehye Nikar B'maisav, so he has to be distinguished in his actions, B'ma'acholoi, the way he eats, Uve Mashkosu, Uve Mashkeyu, the way he drinks, Uve Ilosoi, the way he handles his sexual relationships, Uve Asiyas Torchov, even the way he goes to the toilet, Uve Diburoi, and the way he speaks, Uve Hiluchoi, and the way he walks. There are halachas that govern the way a Talmid Chochem should walk. Uve Malbushoi, and how he dresses, Uve Chilkul Dvorov, and his speaking with people, Uve Masoi, Uve Matonoi, and his dealing with people, and his doing business. Viyu Kol HaMasim HaElu, and all these deeds should be Noim, pleasant, Umesukonim BeYoseh, and perfect. Absolutely right. Ketzad, then he goes to give examples. You read through this, you see the Ramban. And now you realize, as Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski says, that the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu is a mitzvah that you have to be, a Talmid Chochem. That's it. Because when the Rambam describes here how a Talmid Chochem has to behave, he's talking about the same person that the Ramban is describing in Kedoshim Tihiyu. Says Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski, you see that Kedoshim Tihiyu is the mitzvah on being a Talmid Chochem. Now you begin to see what a Talmid Chochem is. It's an Adam Kodosh, a holy man. Chochma in Torah is not just the achievement of intellectual skills. Yes, there have to be intellectual skills. One needs yudias, one needs knowledge, and most of all one needs tevuna, one needs creativity in learning. But on top of that, Kashem she'achochem nikar b'chochmosoi, the same way as a chochem is recognizable by his chochma, kach tzorech she'yeh nikar b'maisa. So he has to be recognizable by the way he acts, by the things that he does. That's kadoshim tiyu, that chiyuv, that obligation to be holy, special, noble, refined, whatever you want to call it. That's what being a Talmid Chochem means. Now we see, when we're talking about a Talmid Chochem, we're not just talking about a wise man, we're talking about a holy man. How holy? There's one other Gemara I want to show you, which is in Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, on the Dalif. It says a Gemara, I'm starting in the middle of a Brisa. Le David Mizmor, whenever David Mahamelech starts a chapter of Tehillim with Le David Mizmor, Melamed Sheshoso Alav Shchino V'achar Kach Omar Shiro. That teaches that first he had inspiration. The Shekhinah, the Ribbono Shel Olam, made his presence felt with David HaMelech, and as a consequence of that, he burst into praise, he burst into Tehillim. Mizmor LeDavid. But when he starts the other way around, Mizmor LeDavid, Melamed She'omar Shiro, V'achar Kach Sho'oso Alav Shekhinah. It teaches us that it was the other way around. First he started singing and praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, and as a consequence of that, the Shekhinah came down on him. LeLamedecho, to teach you, She'ein HaShekhinah Shoiro, that the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam does not rest with a person. Lo mituch atzlus, it doesn't rest if one is lazy. Lo mituch atzvus, and not if one is sad and depressed. Lo mituch schoik, and not out of laughter. Lo mituch kalus roish, and not out of lightheadedness. Lo mituch dvorim betelim, and not out of nonsensical discussions and talk. Ela mituch dovot simcha shel mitzvah. But out of the joy of doing a simcha, that's where the Shekhinah can come. And if that simcha shel mitzvah is absent, if that joy and happiness that comes out of doing a simcha, which is a mitzvah, which is a very special joy and happiness, if that kind of simcha is lacking, there's no way the Shekhinah can rest with one.
How do we see that? Obviously from the fact that where the Shekhinah didn't rest with David, he had to start singing. Through his singing, he was able to bring the Shekhinah. Shenema v'atak chuli menagin v'hoyo kenagin ha-menagin v'atihi olov yad Hashem. As we see in Melachim, it says, and now take for me a musician, and it will be as the musician plays his music that the hand of God will be on me. Where's the Devar Mitzvah there? Say the Mefoshim, by the fact that he played music, L'shem Shamayim, he played music in order to get into the right mood, that's a mitzvah. And the simcha that comes out of doing that mitzvah, out of hearing music, which is for the sake of achieving levels with the Shekhinah, of achieving great spiritual levels, that is sufficient simcha to bring the Shekhinah. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, and this is an incredible statement, says Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, V'chein lidvar halacha. And the same applies with halacha. Now halacha doesn't mean dinim. I've always told you, halacha is not the knowledge of dinim. Halacha is gemara. Right? When the Rambam talks about being able to paskin a shayla, what is osur and mutzur, to be able to work that out from principles, that's what the learning of halacha is. Says Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. The same atmosphere that you need in order to bring nevuah, to bring prophecy, you need in order to bring halacha, to be in order to paskin a shayla. And here we see again, firstly we see that to paskin a shayla is not purely a matter of intellect. A good brain, you can have a wonderful brain, but if the kedusha isn't there at the time, there's no way that shayla is going to be paskined correctly. What one has to know to paskin a shayla correctly is almost Ruach HaKodesh. Because what you have to know is not only everything in Shas which applies to the Shaila, which is difficult even for clever people and for Chachomim, but certainly for ordinary people who are sometimes called upon to paskin a Shaila, it needs incredible Siyata Dishmaya, that you should paskin correctly in accordance with whatever's in Shas. And secondly, you have to know the person for whom you're paskining, and you've got to know him inside out. And how can you know a person inside out? How is it possible to know a person inside out without a bit of Siyata Dishmaya, in fact of something which is close to Ruach HaKodesh, something which the Rebbeinu Shalom helps you to perceive exactly what's going on inside that man, so that you can apply the halacha correctly. Otherwise it's no good. You're applying the chokhmah, but that's not halacha. You're not applying the Torah to that man's requirements, because you don't understand those requirements. And so says Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, that the levels of kedusha that have to be achieved for paskening a shayla, for learning halacha, are the same levels of kedusha that have to be reached to achieve nevuah. The only difference is, as the Rambam says, nevuah is then a gift of God. Once you've reached those levels, it's God's choice whether he gives you nevuah or not. But it's that same level that you have to reach before you can really involve yourself in halacha. And now you see, when we talk about the importance of learning Torah and growing in Torah, and these are words that have become so cliche, and what we're talking about reaching levels of intellect and kedusha, personal greatness. Greatness of character and personality to the level that one is ro'i for nevuah, one is fit for prophecy. And if the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want to give you prophecy, at least you can learn halacha. But that's the level we have to achieve when we talk about growing in Torah. That's where we've got to get to. It's an emotional and personality greatness together with an intellectual greatness, and the two have to go together. That's what we mean when we talk about a Talmid Chacham as opposed to an Am Haaretz. One begins to see now why we're talking about two different categories of people. One wouldn't think of confusing a man and a woman. At least in South Africa we don't. In some parts of America they do. But here we know clearly what a man is and what a woman is. And we know what a slave is and what a free man is. And we know what a Kohen is and what a Levi is and what a Yisrael is. And we go to great efforts to clarify when we're not sure what a person is. And we know what an Ashes Ish is, a married woman and an unmarried woman. And a married man and an unmarried woman. And a mamzer and a kosher. All these halachic classifications that affect the halachic status of individuals, we understand clearly and we know how to apply. We must also know how to apply the concepts of Am Haaretz and Talmid Chacham, that these two are halachic statuses which people achieve for themselves. That's the only difference. All the other things you're born with. But Talmid Chacham is something that every human being can achieve for himself. There's nobody for whom this is to whom this is beyond them. The mitzvah of learning Torah and of becoming a Talmid Chacham is a mitzvah that's given to every single Jew, and he can achieve this himself, and he's got to achieve it himself. He's got to get himself out of the category of an Am Haaretz into the category of a Talmid Chacham. And there is nothing that is more important than that. Now one can understand the Chumash and the Rashi a little bit better. Now that we know what a Talmid Chacham is, I can understand a Gemara in Psochim. This is really the last one I bring you. The Gemara I brought you several times before. A Braisa that Shimon HaAmsuni Hayodoresh Kol Itim Shebatoira. Shimon HaAmsuni used to learn
all the, whenever the word Etz is used in the Torah, he used to learn something special out of it. Because the word Etz we don't translate. It doesn't really have a meaning. It has a grammatical meaning, but not really a literal meaning. And therefore, whenever the Torah uses the word Etz, Shimon HaMsuni used to find a reason why the word Etz was put in. To include something that you would not otherwise have included. Kivan shehigia la'es Hashem elokecha tira pirish. Now he's going through the Torah and he comes in Devarim to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro. You must fear the Lord your God. And the word Es is used. That means Es comes to include something else. So applying Shimon HaMsuni's philosophy that he'd followed up till now, you're on the verge of idolatry. If it is true that the word Es comes to include something that you would otherwise not have included, then we must say here that not only must you fear God, but there's something else you must fear as well. So Shimon HaMsuni, Chas V'Sholem, I would never say such a thing. Therefore I must tell you that everything I've told you about the words Es, I've got to cancel. That it doesn't apply, it's incorrect. Amru lo Talmidim, so the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, kol itim shidarashta mata he'aleim, all these beautiful shirim you've given us. We've sat at your feet for years, listening to every S in the Torah, why this S has to be there, and what you learn from this, and what you learn from that. And new halachas have come out, and new understandings have come out. What's going to happen to all that? Must we just scrap all that knowledge and start from scratch again? Amaleim kashem shekibat ischal al hadrisha, kachanim mekabot schal al haprisha. We'll get schal for our efforts in learning, and we'll get reward for our efforts now in withdrawing. That's part of Enneskite, is that you learn and you learn and you learn, and if you come across something which shows you that what you learned last year is wrong, you withdraw from it, you change, and then you get the schar. The danger is when you don't withdraw. If you withdraw, you get schar for the wrong learning, and you also get schar for withdrawing. So Shimon HaMsuni, I'm not worried. Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came, v'dorash es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, and he learned that Shimon HaMsuni is quite right. And it's Hashem Elokecha Tiro comes to include something apart from the Ribbono Shel Olam. L'rabbe is Talmidei Chachamim. To include Talmidei Chachamim. That's included in that pasuk of fearing God, is included a chiyuv, to fear with the same kind of yira, a Talmid Chacham. It's an incredible statement. That's what the Gemara says, that's what Rabbi Akiva says, and that's what it means in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. That the fear one has for one's Rebbe should be the same as the fear one has for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the same emotion. It's the same yira. What does it mean? Now that we understand what a Talmid Chacham is, we can understand. Sure, a Talmid Chacham, apart from his intellectual greatness, has the Kedusha we've discussed. A Kedusha which makes him fit for Nevuah. He's on the highest possible level that one is able to achieve, or the highest possible level the people, ordinary people, are able to achieve. There are greater levels than that, but that's not for everybody. This is the highest level open to everybody. Obviously that this is part of it, and we'll take it further, you know. It's a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah that stands in the Orem Kodesh and Shul. We're chayav to be mechabed the Sefer Torah. We have to show honor to the Sefer Torah. When you open Orem Kodesh, you have to stand. When the Sefer Torah passes you, you have to kiss it or you have to bow down. When you go out to read from the Sefer Torah, you have to kiss it. When you touch the Sefer Torah, you don't touch it with your hands. All sorts of dinim of covered for the Sefer Torah. But Chas V'Sholom, not Yiro. It would be idolatry to show fear for the Sefer Torah, to show Yiro to the Sefer Torah. That not. But to a Talmid Chacham, yes. Why? Because a Talmid Chacham, a person who's involved in the dynamics of Torah, is Torah. The Sefer Torah is just a thing on which Torah is written, and consequently it has Kedusha. But a Talmid Chacham who's creative in Torah is Torah himself. That is Torah. Everything he thinks and everything he does is taking Torah further and further, and every word that comes out of his mouth is Torah. It's not that Torah is written on him, or he contains Torah, he is Torah. Now I can understand this. Hashem Elokecha Tiro, that includes Talmidei Chachamim, because that's the closest we can get to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Rambam in fact paskens that the mitzvah of the Ahavta is Hashem Elokecha, of loving the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara asks, how can you love the Ribbono Shel Olam, something that is so infinite and distant, how can we love? The Gemara answers, to be misdabek b'Talmidei Chachamim, to cleave to Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rambam paskens that in Halacha, that's how we are mekayim the mitzvah of Ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. To love the Lord our God, the way we do it is by loving Talmidei Chachamim. So you see the closeness or the parallelism that the Gemara places between the Ribbono Shel Olam himself and Talmidei Chachamim. That's the closest we can get to relating to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is relating to Talmidei Chachamim, who are kuli Torah. Everything they do is Torah. Everything they say is Torah. They are Torah. And that's why the Gedolim have always laughed at Amaratzim. See, you've got these classifications. We have a definition of an Amaratz. An Amaratz is a man who stands up when the Torah walks past him, but not when a Rav walks past him. That's a man who just doesn't know what it's all about. The Torah walks past him, where he's chayav only bekovered, he's mechabed. The Talmid Chacham walks past him, where he's chayav both bekovered and begirah, and he sits down. Why should I stand up for him? That's just an Amaratz. That's it. And one begins to understand this now, that one is chayiv in more kovet for the Talmid Chacham than for the Torah itself. Now one understands beautifully. Barosh Sheichem, says Rashi, Roshim u'mechubodim aleichem, shitiyu noagim bohem kovet ve'yiro. You've got to show kovet and yiro to these Talmidei Chachamim because they are Talmidei Chachamim. When it comes to the people that Moshe actually finds, he doesn't find Talmidei Chachamim. He finds Chachamim. They have Torah, they know Torah, but they're not creative in Torah. Therefore, they don't have the din, the halachic din of a Talmid Chacham. They are prominent, they are tzaddikim, and therefore one has to honor them. But yiro is a funny thing. You can't tell a person to have awe for something that is not awe-inspiring. That's how it is. You know, the Rishonim battle with the mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself. The Ramban says it's impossible. Give me a mitzvah to love my neighbor, and if I don't love him, what do I do? Love is an emotion. You feel it or you don't. So the Ramban answers it. But you see the concept that you can't instruct a person. In fact, the Ramban says the mitzvah is not to love. The mitzvah is to act as if you love, to want for him the things that you want for yourself, and to do for him the things you would do for yourself. But to instruct you to love another person, it's not possible. You can only instruct one to love another person if that person is totally lovable. You can instruct a person to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can instruct a husband to love his wife, and a wife to love her husband, because the fact they chose each other shows that they're capable of loving one another. But not just to instruct us to love each other, that doesn't work. Except in San Francisco. The mitzvah of Yiro is the same. That you must fear the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we can be instructed, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is awe-inspiring. That you must fear a Talmid Chacham, that we can also be instructed, because a Talmid Chacham is awe-inspiring. But someone who's not a Talmid Chacham, even if he's a Chacham and a Tzaddik, he's not sufficiently awe-inspiring that you can say about him that you are obliged to act with him with Yiro. How can you be obliged to act with him with Yiro if he doesn't inspire Yiro in me? Kovod, yes. Let him through the door first, ask him to bench, in the shul last, out of the shul first, all that's fine, that's kovod, I can handle that. But to ask me to emotionally relate with Yiro to him, that I can't do unless he inspires Yiro, and he doesn't inspire Yiro if he's not a Talmid Chacham. Now one can understand it, because we understand that the dimension of Talmid Chacham is not an intellectual measure, but it's a measure of quality of person. And now I think that all the questions are answered. With the two points we noted in the beginning, yes, the Moshe was looking for Nevoinim, and Nevoin is a person who's dynamically part of Torah, a person who's involved in the living of Torah, not in the acquiring of Torah. He's not running around collecting yedios only, but he's involved in the learning of Torah. He's involved in the creative learning of Torah, paskening new shilas, coming out with new concepts, seeing new angles. That's what the Nevoin is. That's what that's what Moshe was looking at, so that he could be ba'asimeim b'roshechem, so that he can put them at the leadership of the people and hold them responsible. Because what did we ask? What is the authority whereby it's fair to hold them responsible? The authority is Yiro. I'm scared of a Talmid Chacham. Simple as that. He's a man that inspires all. And when he walks past, I stand up, not only out of covet for him, but out of terror, out of fear for him. That's the statue that we're talking about. And if he tells me to do something, I do it. And therefore, if I don't do it, it's because he hasn't told me to do it. Therefore, I can hold him responsible. But if I don't have Yiro for him, if I don't fear him, he'll tell me to do it, and I'll ignore him. So how can you hold him responsible? He did his job, he told me not to do it, and I carried on. That's because he's not a Talmid Chacham. That's because he's not on the stature that inspires Yiro. What Moshe wanted is people who are Nevoinim as well, who are Talmidei Chachomim, so that Asimim B'Roshechem, which Rashi says you can read as Va'ashimim or Va'ashomim, that I will hold them responsible for the guilt and the faults of the people. And Moshe doesn't find them. The reason Moshe doesn't find them, we've discussed in the last couple of weeks, that was the only problem that Am Yisrael faced during their period in the Midbar, acquisitive society. It was their problem with the Mon, it was the problem with the Eagle, it was the problem right through we've been following consistently, that the problem of Am Yisrael has been that they've been acquisitively involved in living, not dynamically involved in living. And there are reasons for it. And consequently Moshe found Anoshim, he found Tzadikim, Chachomim, people of great knowledge, the Yiduim and prominent, but not Nevoinim, not Talmidei Chachomim, not people who were creative in learning. Those were the best I could find. I appointed them as heads, but I can't hold them responsible for the faults of the people. In fact, we see that the faults of the people only Moshe and Aaron were held responsible for. The other Dayonim were never held responsible for the faults of the people. And in the Rashi,
the two questions that we had. Firstly, why does Rashi say kesufim for chachomim? Now we understand. It's like the managed class in business.
Who has business in his blood? I mean, who, if you want to really go to a businessman, to a man who drinks and eats business, who breathes business and sleeps business and really has business at his fingertips, don't go to a Rothschild. Go to an entrepreneur. A little man who operates a one-man show and is always in and out and making deals and doing deals and figuring out and running here and running there and putting things together. That's the man who understands business, who's really got his finger on the pulse. That's a tugger, that's an entrepreneur. If you go to the guy who's got lots of money, when a good proposition is put to him, he uses it, he takes it, he analyzes it. But he doesn't go around running and looking for propositions. Says Rashi, Chachomim are kesufim. Chachomim are the people who in their Torah are involved in a material way, in their intellectual activities. It's a material way, that means they're collecting knowledge, they're collecting information. And we've done the Vilna Gaon on the Pasuk in Mishlei, where he talks about the difference between a tzaddik and a rosha in his learning. That a Rosh Hashanah collects information and a Tzaddik learns for the sake of clear understanding. So that's why Rashi says Kesufim is in fact an interpretation of Chachomim as opposed to Nevoinim, who is the Tagar, who is the man who is dynamically involved in the entrepreneurship. And then we have clearly the fact that Kovod and Yiro, in the first case they're expected to be shown both Kovod and Yiro, whereas in the second case they're expected to be shown Kovod because they're leaders and they're knowledgeable, but Yiro they can't be expected to be shown. This gives one some kind of understanding not only of how to relate to our Talmidei Chachomim, which is important, but also what is expected of us in Torah. For us to settle with anything less than dynamic, creative involvement in Torah means we're settling for Amaraxis. And there I've mentioned to you often there are other Bosei Medroshim, there are other places in town where you can go and you can get Balabatish Shirim, which cater for people, and they're very important to have such things in the town, which cater for people who've settled to remain Amaratsim, that's it. And we've learned that in the Chazanish also over the last couple of weeks, that that's a tragedy of Jewish life, that adults don't realize that the chiyuv to become a Talmid Chochem is as much as on them as it is on children, and that they have to educate themselves in whatever time they have available to become Talmidei Chachomim. That means Nevoinim, not just to acquire knowledge, not just to learn Dinim and to learn Chumash and Rashi, but to analyze, to know, to see. How do you do it? Very simple. And so with this I'll close so that you shouldn't despair. It's very easy to be a Talmid Chochem. We're talking about Tevuna. What is Tevuna? The first thing, Unkelus says, in his translation, Havu lechon gavrin, men, chakimin, who are wise, v'suchil tonim, and people who observe, people who notice. That's Unkelus' definition of a person with Tevuna. The first requirement, if you want to be dynamic and creative, open mind, as we learned last week. Don't be faknyot. Don't come with your preconceived ideas. And I don't use faknyot only in the frum sense. I use it in the general sense. Don't come with your preconceived ideas and try and fit everything into your preconceived ideas. Look, see what's there, notice what's there. And then the next thing is, in the bracha we say in the morning, what do we say? Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, hanosen lasech v'vino lahavchin bein yom v'bein laila. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam who gives our hearts the ability to distinguish between day and night. That's a bracha for Bina. What is the power of Bina? The power to distinguish. That's the next thing. Once you're looking and noticing, you must be able to distinguish, to see the differences between things. Because that's how richness is created. I gave you a shiur a couple of weeks ago on richness. Richness of thought, richness of feeling. It requires variance. It requires different things to see differences. If you see everything as a grey, there's no richness. You've got to see colours. You've got to notice slight changes in blends of colours. This kind of green and that kind of green, and this kind of pink and that kind of pink. And only if you see the differences between these colours do you realise the overwhelming richness of the colours available to oneself just outside one's window. One doesn't even have to go to art galleries to see that. It's all in front of one. But if one generally sees the obvious colours and one's not able to distinguish, one misses it. And if one listens to music and one's only able to hear the eight notes of the octave, but half notes and quarter notes and shades of notes and chords, one isn't able to hear, and one can't distinguish between a major and a minor and hear different moods in music and feel this and feel that. There's no richness. It's all very bland and very tasteless. And when there's no richness, there's no bina. There's no creativity. To be creative, you need variance. You need different things all thrown together, mixed together, selected, re-blended. That's what creativity is, to re-blend. To make your own private blend. That's what it is to be creative. And just what we've done here in the Rashi is an example. We started off with histakus. We looked, we noticed. We looked through the parasha to see, is there any difference? And we noticed differences. The next thing we did, was to be mavchin. To be mavchin, to clarify and define the differences. To see the first part of the psukim and the second part of the psukim. And that what he was looking for was different to what he found. That's havchona. As a result of the havchona, you're able to be mechadish. Then you can come up with a new idea, with some kind of a chiddush, a new angle, a new approach, a new nuance in the understanding of chazal, which gives you the thrill and the happiness of having been mechadish and of having experienced to an infinite extent, to a minute extent, the quality and the pleasure of being a Talmid Chacham.